Turn into the book of Ruth at chapter 1. And we're just going to look at verses 15 through 19 tonight. Verses 15 through 19 are you know, the verses that everybody likes to go to when they preach out of the book of Ruth and speak about. And they're wonderful verses. And I always looked at these verses as her first commitment to God. But as I studied them, it's not really her becoming committed to God. It's her stating her commitment. And there's a lot of wonderful things that we can learn from those few verses there between 15 and 19 about the decisions that Ruth made and about following Naomi. But the picture really is of her following God. Applied, it applies to you and I about us following the Lord. You know, well, we'll just get into it. So take your Bibles, Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, and we'll read the text together. Do you know, my goal, one of many goals, is that you just never stop, that you don't quit, that you don't carry on walking with the Lord for a while and then you just decide, you know, I'm tired of this. You know, I'm tired of dealing with pastor calling me 32 times a week about stuff like, did you talk to the painter guy? Did you get the builder for the new fire door? Did you know? And I'm sure, Andrew, it gets tiring sometimes. Don't answer that publicly, but it does. You know, and it does. It gets. Sometimes, you know, you become, what an amazing song to sing tonight. You get weary and worn out and tired. You do. And there's no doubt that in Ruth's life, as young as she might have been at this stage, there were times of weariness and being tired. And Ruth is no different than Job or no different than you and I. She went through ups and downs. She went through valleys and mountaintops. And there were good days and there were bad days. What is so wonderful about the text we're going to read, it's really her stating her commitment to God and stating to Naomi what she was going to do. You remember, Naomi kept telling Ruth, go home, go to your people, go back to your gods, do what Orpah did and follow Orpah. It was Orpah, right? Every time I say Orpah, I'm thinking of Ophrah. Oprah. I'm thinking of Oprah, and so it's Orpah. And she said, go back with Orpah. And Ruth basically said, no, I'm not. And when she spoke these verses through 15 through 19, she basically told Naomi why. You know, she said, look, I'm not leaving, and let me tell you why I'm not leaving. So let's look at this. And because you and I need to make the decision that we're not leaving. And I don't mean Chiswick or whatever. I mean, we need to make the decision that we are going to continue on in our faith. We are going to walk with the Lord. And done. We're just going to do that, and that's the way it's going to be. And so look at what Ruth said. Verse 15, chapter 1. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And here's what Ruth said. Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? There was a steadfastness in her replying to Naomi. There was a stick-to-itiveness. There was a no matter what you say, what you do, or what comes, I am not going to veer from the course that I've chosen. And she has chosen God, and she has chosen the people of God, and she has chosen Naomi. And no matter what happens, she's not going to stray from that. And everything that Satan can throw at you, he's going to throw at you so you will stray from serving the Lord. And all because you're here today, and here last week, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before, and you plan on being that way for forever. Listen, you will have things come against you to get you to stop. Every single one of us will. What are you going to do? Lord, I pray as we study your word tonight that you would open our hearts, God, and help us to have a resolve like Ruth. And Lord, help us to understand some truths from your scripture. God, may it be clear to us, and may it be just absolutely understood in our heart and our mind what this is talking about, and that we should be steadfast, resolute, unmovable in the decisions that we make for you, most importantly. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know what happens to Ruth and Naomi. We know the story pretty well, don't we? Ruth goes out. Once they get back to Jerusalem, Ruth goes out to find a field to glean in. Y'all know what gleaning is? Y'all know what gleaning is? No? Okay. Wikipedia is going to help you out tonight, all right? Wikipedia defines gleaning as, I always know there's going to be someone like that over there, so I'm prepared. It has gleaning defined as the act of collecting leftover crops from farmers' fields after they have been commercially harvested or on fields where it is not economically profitable to harvest. Some ancient cultures, this one, promoted gleaning as an early form of a welfare system. Basically, that's what it was, to take care of the poor and widows and different things like that. And this is exactly pretty much the situation Ruth found herself and Naomi in. They were on the dole. They were in the welfare system. Therefore, Ruth needed to go out and glean, pick up the scattered pieces of crop that was not gleaned by the pickers and stuff. So that's what she does. Her and Naomi back in Jerusalem, and Ruth finds a field. And she happens upon a relative's field named Boaz. Now, Boaz, a little bit older than Ruth was, right, takes a liking to this young woman. And he'd heard about her testimony. He even says to her, to Ruth, I've heard about what a great, wonderful daughter-in-law you have been. I heard about your faith, and I've heard how faithful you've been to Naomi. So, you know, her testimony went before her, right? And so Boaz tells Ruth to glean in no other field. I always like that statement. Us men, we're smart, aren't we? When we find a pretty young woman, basically what's kicking on right here, find a pretty young woman, we're like, hey, don't go anywhere, you know? And that's what Boaz told Ruth. Listen, don't you go anywhere. You stick by the ladies that working in my field, and I'll take good care of you. And so Ruth understands that he's a near kinsman because Naomi tells her and tells her what to do. And so after the story progresses a little while, and she, instead of bringing home a couple of handfuls of wheat or whatever it is they were collecting that day, she brought back a huge basket full of I don't know, wheat or barley or oat or barley. Barley, a huge basketful, and if I remember correctly, as I was studying, I think it was equivalent something to like a month or more worth of barley. I mean, she got loaded up. And so, basically, after all this happens for a little while, Naomi says, look, it's time to make your move. So Ruth goes to Boaz and lays at his feet. The customs of the culture, and that was fine to do. There was nothing immoral. There was nothing wrong with what she did, right, Andrew? She went and laid at his feet. He saw her down there eventually and said, look, you stay here and then get up early and leave, and I'll go take care of business. And so the next day, Boaz goes to the gate where the men would meet and do business. And he finds, because he told Ruth, listen, I can't do anything yet because there is a closer kinsman than me, one. And tomorrow I'll go and talk to him. So he goes and talks to the guy and says, listen, hey, you know Naomi? Yeah, I've heard about her. You know, she's back in town. And he said, you know, there's a field and it's your inheritance and you can have it. Would you redeem it? He goes, yeah, I'll do that. Oh, by the way, it comes with a woman, Ruth. No, can't do that because if I do that, then I will mar my inheritance and I kind of don't want to do that. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think it's probably working out this way. If that other kinsman took Ruth as the wife, he'd have to raise his first child in the name of Ruth's husband, right? So he probably didn't want to do that because that would mess up everything. And it wouldn't be his name, his son, inheritance. I'm not 100% sure, Andrew, but I think it's working kind of like that. And so he said, no, I can't take Ruth. And Boaz, he's probably jumping up and down inside going, yeah, and all excited. He says, okay, I'll take care of it. And then they traded a shoe or something like that. Yeah, and Boaz goes back to Ruth. They have a wedding. They get married. They're happy. They have a little baby. And you know what? Basically, Ruth lives happily ever after. Right? Is that the story in a nutshell, basically? So, yeah, and they had a little boy named Obed, and Obed had a little boy named Jesse, and Jesse had a little boy named David. What an awesome story. You know, here's this Moabite girl raised up in a heathen home, really with no hope of the truth. Because she was in Moab, and they weren't too friendly with each other. And God said, you know what? Don't go and be with them Moabites, right? You know, don't do that. And so here's this little Moabite girl, really no hope of finding Jehovah, no hope of God. But you know what? God finds his people. God searches for us so much more than we ever searched for him. Amen? Doesn't he do that? And not that it was a good decision on Naomi and her husband's part, because they lost everything going to Moab. They lost everything that they had. But yet, God had a purpose and plan for Ruth. And Ruth got involved in Naomi's family, married one of her sons, but they all died. And now here's a bunch of widowed women with nothing. And Naomi says, Orpah and Ruth, you go home. But Ruth said no. And you read this story and you look at what a blessed life she eventually had. And you look how everything worked out for her. Amen? And she did. She truly did live happily ever after. I mean, as far as we know the story, she did. And let me just be clear. God blessed them. God blessed Ruth. God blessed Naomi and Ruth's decision to go back to Jerusalem, where their home was, where the land of promise was, where they should have stayed and went through the famine and all that. But now they've gone back and God blessed them. And you know what? They acknowledged the blessing of God upon them near the close of the end of the chapter. Let's go to chapter 4 and look at verse 13 and 14. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception. The Lord did it. The Lord probably held conception earlier from her. But the Lord now opened her womb and gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then all the women gathered around Naomi, because Naomi's probably holding the baby. They said, look at my little grand, you know how you do, and look at my little grandbaby, and all excited about that. And here's what the women said to Naomi. Blessed be the Lord. Praise God. Why is she doing? What are they doing? They are praising the Lord for the blessing of this son. And, you know, I imagine, too, they're probably sitting around thinking, you know, look at what God has done here. Took this little Moabite girl, brought her into the promised land. She has now become a proselyte, a follower of Jehovah. How wonderful God is to do this for her. This is how we talk, isn't it? We talk, look how God reaches around the world and grabs somebody. And look how someone, over like today, we saw the Sea Gypsy video. What a blessing. That lady says she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Why? Because God called some man to go down into the southern end, I guess, of Mindanao, to where these Bajau people are, to preach the gospel to them. That's grace, amen? That's God. That's God doing it, and God blessing, and God just doing what he normally does. And they saw that, and so they're praising him for it. And here's what they said, praise God, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. Man, they're praising the Lord for God taking this woman, bringing Naomi back, meeting up with Boaz, that situation working out, then she having a son, and eventually would be, I guess, was he the grandfather? Obed, Jesse, yeah. The grandfather of the king of Israel, and then the descendants among Christ. And that's a pretty amazing story. God blessed them. That's what happened. God gave them more than they deserved. Didn't he? It's exactly what God does to you and I. Everything that we have is more than we deserve. But let's look at this also on the other side. Ruth had a part in the blessing of God in her life, didn't she? She put herself in the place where she could be blessed. You know, she made some decisions that changed her life completely. Ruth's decision and commitment. When you read verses 15 through 19, it wasn't they weren't verses describing her coming to faith about God or to faith in God. They were verses that described her commitment to the God of Israel, to the Jehovah God. And you got to understand the difference there. She wasn't saying, I now choose to follow your God. She was saying to Naomi, listen, I'm going to follow you because I have made a commitment and I've taken upon in my life to believe in Jehovah God. So you've now said to me three times, and Naomi did, three times she said, go home, go home, go home. And finally, Ruth said, I'll just read it to you again. And Ruth said, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. She's just showing Naomi, I've chosen Jehovah. I'm following him. Wherever you die, I will die, and I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said nothing. She said no more. So the two of them continued on the journey, and they went to Bethlehem, and God's grace was upon them. I want to talk to you tonight about your commitment to follow God, your commitment to stay with the commitment that you made to accept Christ as Savior. Now listen, you come to this point of salvation and you accept the Lord, you believe in him, you trust him, but that's not the end. You did nothing to be saved. You didn't work to be saved. Nothing about your salvation is dependent upon what you do. But your walk with God is different, isn't it? It's dependent upon what you're going to do, and what you're going to say. Now, let's just look at what Ruth did here and kind of apply it to our life. My question for you tonight is, what will stop you? How determined are you to stick with what you have decided to do? Ruth's decision was, I'm going to follow. And sometimes in today's life, that doesn't mean a lot. How many times have we dealt with people and they've gone up and they said, I've been saved and I'm going to follow God. And sometimes within weeks, just a few weeks, you don't see them anymore. It seems to be that there was nothing behind that decision. See, Ruth made a decision. She made a commitment. You could describe it as this. And I'm sure you've heard this statement before. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to change. Have you ever heard that before? Come hell or high water, anybody heard that statement before? That is a statement that says, if you say that you will do something, come hell or high water, you mean that you are determined to do it despite any difficulties that there might be. And that's exactly what you have with Ruth's decision of what she said in verses 15 through 19. It's exactly what Ruth said, and it is exactly what she did. No matter the difficulties before her or the sacrifices involved with staying with Naomi, with identifying with the Jewish people, with leaving her family behind, her country and her gods, and now following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is exactly what she's going to do. There was determination and commitment in her decisions. And my soul, that's what we need more of in the Christian faith, in the Christian life. People who will do what they say and say what they do. Because Andrew, let's face it, we come in contact with a lot of people that don't follow through with what they say they're going to do. Which seems like we live our Christian life almost in the similar way as we lived our unsaved life. You know, if it fits our time schedule, we'll serve God. If it doesn't cost me a whole lot, we'll serve the Lord. That's not what Ruth's decision was. And so we balance out our life. We look at Ruth, and she was a nothing girl, and she became the grandmother of the King of Kings. Well, you know, the greatest, greatest, great, great, great grandmother, the King of Kings. She was the grandmother of the King of Israel, the true first King of Israel, the God-picked King of Israel, not the man-picked King of Israel. She went virtually from nothing to that. And yes, it was because of God's grace. It was because of God's blessing on her life. But it was also because of the decision and the commitments that she made. Number one, and I'll just give you a couple thoughts. Ruth's decision to follow was accompanied with the decision to break away. And I think that's what hurts a lot of Christian people. They have the decision to follow, but they don't have the decision to break away. Let's look at verse 16 again. Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'm going to go and I'm going to follow you. Wherever you live, I am going to live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." One of my commentaries says this, "In one of the most beautiful expressions of commitment in all the world's literature, she laced her future to that of Naomi. She confessed allegiance to the people of Israel and to the God of Israel. Here was a stirring example of a complete break with the past." Listen, do you see what she's done here? She says to Naomi, "Your journey is now my journey. I do away with mine. I take your journey. Your home has now become my home. I've turned my back on my home. Your people have become my people. I've turned away from my people. Your God has become my God. I've turned away from the idols that I've learned to worship. Your future now has become my future because I've tied myself with you. And that really is a wonderful picture of the Christian life. Isn't the Christian life, when we come to Christ, isn't part of it breaking with the past? It's not that we're doing away with all of our friendships and all of our ties, but we are doing away with the power of those friendship and ties over our life. And we trade our past life and we take upon the life that now that God now has for us. I think this is a huge problem in the Christian life because we want God's blessings and we want our desires at the same time. And we want both things. And the truth is you can't have both. And even Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross and die daily. If you're going to follow me, some of the guys said, look, Jesus, I want to follow you, but can I go first tell my family goodbye? No. He said, follow me. He said, Lord, I want to follow you, but can I go first bury somebody? No, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. God's not teaching us not to have compassion for our family and friends, but what he's teaching us is there has to be a break from the old life. And this is exactly what we see in Ruth's decision. The reason I believe she was so blessed in her life is because when she turned to follow God, she had no ties any longer to keep her or to pull her back. She followed God, and she incorporated with that decision was the decision to break away. Listen, we are to love our family and our friends. We are to do everything in our power and ability to show them the love of God, to show them how to be saved, to show them how God loves them. We need to do that, don't we? Don't we? But Ruth wasn't going to allow those things to keep her from following God. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. I mean, look around over the last, at least for me, just the last 8 years. How many people have talked to me after church that said, I just want to live for God no matter what. And the littlest, teeniest things come along and they're no longer following the Lord. So number one, Ruth's decision to follow is accompanied with the decision to break away. Number two, Ruth made a decision that she was all in. See, I think the fearful thing for me sometimes is people come to God, they want to stay out of the fire, but they don't want to really give their entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? He might change your job and get you to go from estate agencies to being a teacher. Oh, man, he might really get wild and start planning in the thoughts in your mind to maybe want to give your life to the ministry to serve the Lord in some full-time capacity. He might even get really nuts and call you to one of those foreign fields to go and serve and preach the gospel. What do you mean? I'm going to give up everything that I have? It was a real blessing to me. It's been a long time since I've watched Francis's videos. And this was actually a new one, different than the other one. And Francis Cosgrave, he was an okay runner, wasn't he? I mean, no, first place in one country, fifth in the world. That mountain looked like painful, didn't it? It's like it was a real mountain. It was the kind of thing that I'd want to wear safety equipment and stuff and climb a rope with. And they're running up the crazy, hanging on to a little rope, but they're running up the crazy. And he got fifth in the world. Firstly, he only made 800 quid. That I don't think is enough for fifth place. He gave all that up. Why? Because he made the decision, just like Ruth, that he was all in. Look at verse 17. When you decide to be all in, you decide to hold nothing back. And look what she did. She said, where you die, I will die. My life is done. I tie my life with you, and there will I be buried. The Lord does so to me, and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. Ruth said to Naomi, as a testimony of her faith in God, she says, I'm all in this thing. No matter what happens, I'm giving my life to it. You know, there are some followers or wannabe followers. They're just not willing to pay a price for following Jesus. They're not willing to say, I'm all in. Well, they go, let me do this or let me do that. And the reality is they just never do anything for the Lord because everything else gets in the way. Ruth said, nothing is going to get in the way of me following God and following you back to the people of God, to the place of blessing, to where, you know, eventually God is going to turn her life all around. Ruth said, I'm with you to the end. Does that ring a bell, Emily? When Bucky was beating up Captain America in the Winter Soldier, Cap said, I don't care, Bucky. I'm with you to the end. Right? To the end of the line. And that's basically what Ruth said. Christian, listen to me. We have to get the mindset that we're all in. And we're with it to the end of the line. There's one thing that should stop us from living for God. Now, this is a hard saying, but it's a true saying. And that's death. That's the only thing that should stop us from living for the Lord. Now, God might move you and send you to another country. God might call you one day, Andrew, where you have to leave Chiswick and all of us. But that doesn't end our living for Him. Only death should end it because you know why? We need to say we are all in. That's something that many believers do not do. I like how Ruth ended in verse 17. If anything but death parts you and me. She said, Naomi, I'm not leaving. I'm in it to the end. Christian, be in it to the end. Be in it to the end. And just make that decision that that's the only way you're going to be out of it. Because when that happens, you'll be with Him. And it'll be all okay. Amen? This is the reality of her faith. This wasn't her making decision to have faith in God. This is what faith in God is producing in Ruth. I'm with you to the end. Number three, Ruth's decision was determined. She was determined. And we just saw how she said, I'm with you to the end. Only death will part us. But look at verse 18, and I want to explain what that determined means. Verse 18 says, and when she saw that, she was determined to go with her. When Naomi saw that, she stopped speaking to her. In other words, Naomi asked her, told her, was compelling her three different times to leave and to go back to her people. But when Naomi saw that, she was determined to go with her, she stopped. See, Ruth had made up her mind. And after those three attempts on Naomi's part to get Ruth to go back, Naomi saw that she was determined. Now, this is something that we need in our Christian life. Now, it's just not simple determination. Determination is, you know, I'm just going to be determined. I'm going to stay with it until the end. That's not exactly what this verse means. The Hebrew determined means actually devoted. Devoted. Ruth was devoted. She had devotion. And that means that she was devoted, had devotion to the course of action that she made. It means to be strong, to be stout in that decision. Man, that's what Christians need. Years ago, I made the decision, now, personally for me, I made the decision that I would not work on Sunday. Now, that decision came with a price, because you remember Alan, honey? Remember when Alan decided the business, because I was working for my cousin, and we were construction contractors, and we were doing renovations to homes. We put on new roofs, we'd add additions, we'd add basements, you know, and it was just Alan and I. And Alan, and I've told you part of the story before, Alan wanted me to come and work for him and to basically run jobs. But what that would entail would be, when he first talked to me about it, I said, would I have to work Sundays, Alan? And he goes, no, not really, but you'd have to be on call. Well, I knew what that meant. On call is a way for me to sign the contract and said, okay, I'll be on call. But then guess what's going to happen? Every Sunday, I'm going to be on call. And every Sunday, I couldn't teach a Sunday school because I'd have to be able to get up once my back in those days, we actually used pagers. If you don't know what a pager is, go to a museum. I'm sure one is in there, and you can look at it. And the pager would go off, and I'd have to leave. Immediately pop in the truck and go wherever the job requires. I wasn't willing to do that, so I said no. So you know what Alan did? I lost my job. I went from going to be some kind of manager in the company corporate head office, just him and me, to I didn't have a job at all. See, to be devoted to something will cost you, but are you devoted? Because I just think something. In Ruth's case, what she gained by being devoted and leaving everything she knew was 10 billion times far greater than what she would have gained if she'd gone back home. When we are devoted, I can't promise you everything is always going to work out, but I can promise you that it will be Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Doesn't mean that if you make the decision that you're to not work on Sunday, your boss is going to say, you know what, Emily? I just think you're so stinking cute, and I just love you to death with that ginger hair and that smile and your little teeny tiny way you do everything. And you know what? Don't worry about working Sundays. Just whatever days you want to work, you can work because I know you love Jesus. Guess what, folks? It's just not going to work out that way. As a matter of fact, she's got a work situation now where she's kind of getting harassed because she's not wanting to work Sundays, right? With Ruth's decision came the show of her devotion. It's connected to the second point, that she was all in, which was connected to the first point, that there's a break with her old past, her old life, with the things in it. Number four. You know, we know that God blessed her, but I believe that God blessed her because she made the decisions to follow God no matter what. So when you come down to verse 19, after Naomi stopped talking to her and Ruth told her that those three things. Then you come to verse 19 and it says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And then the story begins. And not too many chapters after this, about three chapters later, Naomi and Ruth are holding the baby. And there's a flock of people praising God for what He's done. But the fourth point is this. These decisions produced an action. See, we just can't say, you know what? I'm going to follow God and I'm going to break with my old life and then just sit there. We can't just say, you know what, we're all in and I'm going to be in this till death finishes it. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to follow Him and I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do my part, not to be saved, but to follow him afterwards. Because you know what Jesus said? You have to take up your cross. You have to follow me. Jesus wasn't carrying them along in the physical sense. You have to. So we get to this, and you know, you just can't say, well, I'm gonna break with my old life. I'm all in, and I'm going to be devoted to him. I'm going to be devoted to the cause of God and cause of Christ. You know what? With those decisions comes the necessity of walking. Naomi and Ruth still had to go to Bethlehem. Still had to go to Jerusalem. Still had to go back to the promised land. So Christian, you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know what? I've made the decision I'm not going to live like I used to. I've made the decision that I'm all in, that I'll do whatever's necessary. I'll work in the church wherever God wants me to. I will do whatever is needed. I will sacrifice my own personal desires so the glory of God can be seen and can be a testimony to everybody around this place. I will do my part. I'm all in. And you can say, I'm going to be devoted. I'm going to be determined in my faith. But that's just the beginning. Now the real work comes. How does God want you to live it out? He wanted Ruth to go back to Bethlehem. What does the Lord want you to do? Maybe he wants you to stay right where you're at and just continue to be that testimony and light. Maybe the Lord wants you to go to school. Maybe the Lord wants you to witness to somebody that has been a challenge in your life. Maybe the Lord wants you to do something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone. Whatever it is, when you make these decisions, now the walk comes. It's what are you going to do? For me, I don't want mediocrity in my Christian life. I battle with it all the time. I don't want mediocrity. I want God to use us. I want God to use my kids. Emily and Steve are going to school. I'm excited for them. But you know what, guys? It's not enough to be raised in a Christian home. It's not enough to know more hymns and songs and Bible verses than the average human being. Because you've been in a pew before birth even. You know, you kids have logged more Bible Jesus time than most of the world will ever log. But it doesn't mean anything if you two don't decide to put action to your decisions. It's not enough to say I'm all in. Because the reality of being all in is actually doing something about it. You want God's blessing on your life? I'm not a word faith person. And I believe it's all done by his grace. But also believe from Scripture that we play a part in this work in our Christian life by deciding to do it and not turning back. So kids, Emily and Stephen, what are you going to do? Church, what are you going to do? Because you will have to stand before God and make an account for what you did or did not do here. Amen? Let's pray.